With Montana News, I'm Charles Bolte. The U.S. Forest Service withdrew its appeal Tuesday to a 2019 court ruling ordering it to examine ineffective closures of temporary logging roads in grizzly bear habitat. The federal agency will continue studying the issue. MTPR's Aaron Bolton explains.
The district court ruling from October asked the Forest Service to consult with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to determine how effective dirt berms are at closing temporary logging roads to motorized use in grizzly bear habitat within the Lolo, Kootenai, and Idaho Panhandle National Forests. There are federal restrictions on road density in and around grizzly bear habitat management areas. The Alliance for the Wild Rockies sued the Forest Service, arguing that earthen berms do nothing to prevent motorized use of closed logging roads, putting threatened grizzly bears at risk. The environmental group says many roads are still usable and count toward road density limits, meaning future road building in some areas should stop until old roadways are effectively closed. The Forest Service temporarily halted one timber sale last year as a result of the case, and in a series of letters said a total of 37 active commercial and non-commercial projects could be impacted. In an emailed statement Tuesday, the agency would not say whether additional projects have been affected. The Forest Service says it expects to be done consulting with the Fish and Wildlife Service on the impact of ineffective road closures this summer. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A group of Montanans dedicated to forming consensus over the future of grizzly bear management in the state is at loggerheads over the role of hunting as grizzly populations expand. Nick Mott reports.
The Governor's Grizzly Bear Advisory Council, tasked with guiding the future of managing the species in Montana, released draft recommendations last weekend. The exhaustive list of measures includes obtaining more funding for livestock lost to grizzlies, securing pathways where grizzly populations can connect with one another, and minimizing conflicts with humans. But the council couldn't find a distinct path forward on how to deal with grizzly hunting should the animal's threatened status under the Endangered Species Act be removed. The draft document lists statements both for and against hunting. In meetings in Helena on Monday and Tuesday, the group grappled with how to deal with that contentious issue.
I think it's okay that you can't come to agreement on that.
Martha Williams is director of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
I think that is still a valuable product from all of your work. So there are going to be places where you may not get to consensus, and identifying those places, I think, helps.
Williams said the state will take into account the council's recommendations, but will not necessarily institute all of them. The bulk of hundreds of public comments submitted to the council online have focused on grizzly hunting, and the council is expected to finalize its recommendations by August. I'm Nick Mott, Montana Public Radio News.
A Black Lives Matter event this weekend in Billings drew around 2,000 people who rallied in support of racial equality and justice for people of color victimized by law enforcement. Kayla DeRoche with Yellowstone Public Radio News shares words from speakers who talked about their experiences being black in Montana. And a quick language warning. We chose not to bleep a racial slur in a quote in this story because we think it provides important context into the racism black people experience in Montana.
James Bullock said he's of mixed race and grew up in Billings.
Being in Montana, that is a predominantly white state, we act like this stuff doesn't happen all over. You know, we act like we see these things on the news across the country. I can see it in Houston. Doesn't happen here. But let me tell you, it does.
He said he went to Skyview High School, and he felt he was reduced to being seen as a black kid with a white mom.
If it wasn't for my ability to play basketball growing up, I know a lot of people would have looked at me a lot differently. They've told me that. And the sad part about what's happening now and as an adult, I can look back as a kid, I let too much go. There was too much things being said behind my back, to my face, to people that I thought were friends. And I'm learning as an adult, I'm not letting my kids grow up like that.
Lily May, who was raised in Montana and Wyoming, talked about abuse and neglect from her white adopted parents before the age of 15.
A lot of times, I did think my skin color had a lot to do with it. Because of the white community I lived in, everywhere I have ever lived my whole entire life, I have been a minority. There were many days I blamed my skin color on my parents' abuse. Maybe they didn't want me. How can they love a child that isn't theirs, let alone clearly didn't look like them?
May said just before she turned 16, she was placed with a foster father who was a police officer, and that's when she met her best friend. She also talked about discrimination in her school and racially based bullying.
I was one of three black kids in a school of 400, and everyone thought I was a foreign exchange student. Kids frequently used the phrase nigga in front of me and made sure it was directed elsewhere so they did not get in trouble. Or they would joke and say they would give me a white eye instead of a black eye. I was called the N-word, I was laughed at and talked about, and the teachers assumed I knew the answers to all of the African-American history questions.
May shared her experiences with local law enforcement and said she's never been treated poorly by Billings police officers. Aaron Thompson, a seventh-generation Montanan, said he was raised by his mother and grandmother.
I lovingly refer to myself as one of those uppity Negroes because I grew up in a white middle-class family with two strong women who weren't able to teach me any different, that I have the same rights, the same opportunity to live a decent life in this country, and nobody should be able to take that away from me.
Ken Palmer said he's originally from Chicago, Illinois, where he said he's been questioned for being in a certain neighborhood and has been kicked out of an establishment because of what he looks like.
And coming out here, I've experienced my fair share of walking down the street and having the N-word yelled at me. But I will say, what I'm seeing today is by far the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in the 4 years I've been living here. And I thank you all for coming. I really appreciate that.
The rally in Billings was one of a handful across Montana held in the days following the death of George Floyd in police custody. Despite attracting different opinions and groups, the events have remained nonviolent. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
For Montana Public Radio, I'm Charles Bolte.